Thank you for downloading and listening to the Briam Bible Church Sunday Morning Podcast. Briam Bible Church is located in Shoreline, Washington, morning worship at 11, and many more events throughout the week. For more information, please visit our website at www.briamshoreline.org.
Our preacher this morning is Jeremy Herr. Jeremy, come on up. Jeremy and I have been friends for over 20 years now, which makes me feel old. But I guess we're getting there. And Jeremy grew up here at Berean, and you probably all know Kyle Herr, Kyle and Nancy, his parents. And he is now a pastor over in Eastport, New York. He's a youth pastor over there, and I love to consider Jeremy a friend. And he and I have been partners in ministry for a long time as well. We served in youth group together and helped out in Michigan out in youth group and went to school together. And so I know that you're going to really enjoy the words that Jeremy has to bring to you. More importantly, you're going to be impacted by the things that he has to say as he opens God's word for us this morning. So let's pray together. God, we pray for Jeremy as he opens your word to us, that you may stir in his heart and give him the words that he needs to say to us this morning. We pray for us as we hear and we open your word as well, that we may be challenged by the things that you are speaking to us, and may our hearts be open to be transformed by what it is that you have to say. Pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Gary, and I am so grateful to have Gary in my life as a friend, as a partner, and yeah, it's been great to do life together, even though it's been from a distance quite a few years. It is good to be back. It is good to be here at Berean Bible Church, Shoreline, Washington. As Gary said, I'm a youth pastor at Eastport Bible Church in Eastport, New York. That's on Long Island. And so New York City is here, and then Long Island goes 120 miles out. We are right in the middle, of the island, and we have been there now for 16 and a half years, and we absolutely love doing ministry there and love being a part of that church and that community. I have a photo of my family up there just to let you know that it's my wife Laura and my son Christian and my daughter Ellie. Christian is 15, Ellie is 12 in 10th and 7th grade, and so that is my family. And we've kind of come and gone here over the last few years visiting, and they've probably changed quite a bit from when you've seen them last. Christian is now 6'2" tall, and so I did not think that there would be a day, because my wife is about here, that he would ever be taller than me, but he just turned 15 and has already blown me away. And so, yeah, I think I'm really in trouble with that. But it is good to be back here. This, for me, this place, this church is hallowed ground. This was incredibly formative, massive, influential place for me in my life. It was so incredible, just the ways that I look back, and people in this church shaped me and took an interest in me and invested in me and poured into me. I was a part of this children's choir, and I apologize for the poor quality for those 6 years that I was in it. But in actuality, I was fake singing the whole time, so the mouth was moving, but there was nothing coming out. But it was just such a great blessing to grow up in this place. There's probably been no rooms that I've spent more time in other than the homes that I lived than that gym right over there. It was a place of literal sanctuary for me. And men came into my life in that gym and shaped me, not just in sport, but in faith and in life. And that is hallowed ground for me. And so I thank you all for the work that you are doing in this church and in this ministry. And I challenge you, before we jump into God's word, keep going. Keep pouring into the lives of these young people. Do not ever stop, Berean Bible Church. You are making a difference. Don't stop. Keep pouring in. Keep investing. Keep pouring into the next generation. Keep pouring into your children's ministry, your youth ministries. Keep investing and giving, because it makes a difference. I am here today because you all poured into me. Keep going. Don't stop. Keep pouring into that. Pastor Jim asked me to continue the series that you all have been working through, the I Am Statements of Jesus. And so today we are going to go to John chapter 10. Pastor Gary, 2 weeks ago, took the first section of this. And so now I'm going to pick up the second section of Jesus describing himself as I am the good shepherd. And so John chapter 10, we will start in verse 11 and pick up where Gary left off a couple of weeks ago. John chapter 10. Verse 11, it reads, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. And so how many of you have ever been a shepherd? Anyone? No one. Not a single shepherd in the room. I, full transparency, full disclosure, I've never been a shepherd. Not one second in my life would anyone have ever called me a shepherd. In fact, I have no idea what it is to be a shepherd. I have no idea what it is to be a farmer. I've planted a couple seeds a couple of times and saw things grow, but I don't know what it is like to take care of something and see something grow and develop over time. I have no idea what it is to be a shepherd. And so, to be honest, when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, for me, I have no full frame of reference of what that totally means. I've heard of this imagery over the years, Jesus is a good shepherd. We often, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, have been referred to as his sheep. And there's this imagery that we keep hearing all the time. But for me, my curiosity about 3 months ago, I was like, I want to know what it is to be a shepherd. I want to like find out what it is to be a shepherd. And so I decided to send some emails to a couple of local farms on Long Island. And you probably can't read these words, but I basically just said, hey, my name's Jeremy Herr. I'm a pastor. And the Bible talks a lot about being a shepherd and sheep and the whole thing. And I'd like to come and just follow around your shepherds for like a day, few hours, whatever, and I'll help with anything. I'll get dirty, I'll get muddy, I'll get whatever. I'd love to do this. And at the end I said, I'll pay you for it, whatever. Just let me come and be a part of this. So I emailed this out to three local farms, three sheep farms on Long Island, and I didn't hear anything back. So I never got to be a shepherd. I wanted to be. Because I wanted to see, I wanted to experience. Jesus is saying, I'm the good shepherd. I would love to see firsthand what that is to be a shepherd. What that is to take care of the sheep. What it is to keep them safe. What it is to make sure they're fed and taken care of and sheared and all of those things. But I have no idea. I have no idea what that is. But we can kind of check out some of these words and some of these imagery that Jesus portrays here, what it is to be a shepherd. And it is quite stunning, just the observations that we make about who Jesus is based on himself calling him a good shepherd. And so, as we read verse 11 again, we'll read again, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. How about this imagery? This whole idea that the good shepherd, his job, the shepherd's job is to keep the sheep safe. So much so that they are willing to give up their life for the sheep. We see the imagery in the Old Testament of David working the sling to protect his sheep. He was able to defeat Goliath certainly with God's help and with God's strength, but because he was a master at keeping his sheep safe, and he was really good with the sling. And so this whole idea that a shepherd is willing to lay down his life for a sheep. The shepherd probably has many, many, many sheep, sometimes hundreds, maybe even thousands. And so if one sheep is in trouble, the shepherd is willing to lay down his life for the sheep. Jesus is saying, I am the good shepherd. How about for us to know that we have a Savior in Jesus? He is the shepherd. We are the sheep. He is willing to lay down his life for us. He is willing to give up everything for us. That is beautiful imagery. That is powerful statement that Jesus is the shepherd. And then Jesus makes a contrast. He contrasts himself, the good shepherd, to a hired hand. And it goes on to say in verse 12, the hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. So Jesus says the good shepherd is willing to lay down his life for the sheep. He is willing to sacrifice everything to keep his sheep safe. But then Jesus says the hired hand is completely different. The hired hand has no invested stake in the sheep. The hired hand isn't willing to make that ultimate sacrifice for the sheep because the hired hand is simply hired to do the job. The hired hand isn't invested in keeping the sheep safe. And so what does Jesus say? The hired hand has all these sheep to take care of and he's there protecting the sheep, reading his iPhone or whatever, like half paying attention, eating a meal, making the count, should be 100. I count 99. It's all right. I get back to my food. The hired hand doesn't have this invested stake, this invested interest, this invested love and passion and commitment for these sheep because he is simply a hired hand. He isn't willing to make that ultimate investment. And so Jesus says, when the wolf comes and the sheep scatter, so does the hired hand. The wolf comes, the sheep scatter, and the hired hand is like, this isn't worth it. I'm out of here. I'm not willing to give up my life. I'm not willing to sacrifice. I am not willing to give up anything of myself to protect these sheep because ultimately I don't care about these sheep. I care much more about myself than these sheep. The contrast is incredible. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. He, when that wolf comes, is willing to lay down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, not so much. And so for us as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we have in Jesus a good shepherd. We are the sheep. He is the good shepherd. We can follow him. We ought to follow him because he is willing to lay down everything for us. But for us, how often when we are living out our lives, do we take our eyes from the good shepherd knowing that he is there for us, he cares for us, he knows us, he loves us, he's willing to lay down his life for us? But we get sidetracked and we focus more on these other things in life that come up, these other things that we follow, these other things that we get immersed in, these other things that draw our attention and our devotion. And that imagery is kind of like the hired hand. That these are the things that come into our lives that instead of following the good shepherd, we are like, hey, this hired hand looks interesting. And that looks fun over here. And that looks compelling. And maybe I'll follow this for a time and just see how this goes. But the reality, and that we find over and over and over again, is that when we follow Jesus, there is consistency, there is hope, there is love because he cares for us and he laid down his life for us and he is our Savior and he is the one truly worth following. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. But we're over here going, oh, the hired hand looks fun. The hired hand, the life following the hired hand looks compelling. But what happens in crisis? The hired hand scatters and it all falls short. And we realize in those moments, yeah, the only one really worth following is the good shepherd. The only one really worth following is Jesus. Because he is the hope. He is the Savior of the world. He is the one who is willing to lay down his life for us. It continues, and by the way, Jesus said later in John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. And so Jesus is saying, I am the good shepherd. I'm willing to lay down my life for the sheep. No one has anyone. No love has been demonstrated more than someone who is willing to lay down their lives for us, for their friends. So Jesus is the good shepherd willing to lay down his life for us. There's been no truer expression of love than when he laid down his life for us. The imagery is just stunning and beautiful and incredible, that I am the good shepherd. It continues. Verse 14, he reiterates, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. It says, Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. So I never got an opportunity to be a shepherd, but I did use this really cool resource called Google. And you can find a lot of information on this thing in cyberspace. And there's this other thing called YouTube, and you can watch like shepherds do shepherding things, and you can find out about what it is to be a shepherd. And there's a few just amazingly interesting facts. Is they brand each sheep with a name or a number or a tag so they know their sheep. They know which sheep belongs to them. So if there's neighboring farms and they get kind of mixed up, they know, these are my sheep, these are your sheep. The shepherd knows their sheep. He knows them by name. The passage that Gary went through a couple of weeks ago, it says earlier in John chapter 10, the shepherd knows his sheep by name. That's incredible. Jesus, the creator of the universe. We know in Colossians that Jesus was there at creation doing the creating. We know from Colossians that Jesus is the one holding all things together, sustaining everything. That Jesus, the Savior, the creator of the world, he knows me. He knows you. He knows our strengths. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our shortcomings. He knows our intricacies. He knows our good habits. He knows our bad habits. He knows the things that we have incredible joy from. He knows the things that bring us great despair. He knows us. He knows our name. He knows who we are. He knows when we're going through hard times. He knows when we're sick. He knows when we're happy. He knows when we're healthy. He knows when we're going through difficult times. He knows us. Jesus knows you. He cares about you. He's the good shepherd. He's tagged his sheep. He knows us by name. He calls us out. There was this really cool video that I saw. It took place in Europe at this sheep farm in Europe. And so the way they set up this farm is they have tourists that come in. And so what the tourists try to do, it's this really cool concept, is the tourists try to mimic the voice of the shepherd. And there's a word for the call that the shepherd makes. Maybe some of you know it. I read the word. I can't remember what it is. But they make this noise. It's kind of like a, I don't even want to try to attempt making the noise. But it's a sheep call that the shepherd makes. And so at this farm, they come in and the tourists try to replicate the sheep call. And it was really quite stunning in this video that the tourists are there, whatever it is, the noise, and the sheep just like keep eating, like shh, like just like no flinch, no movement, nothing. And then the video cuts to like three tourists and they all try their attempt at making the noise. And then the shepherd comes in on the video. And he makes the noise, and the sheep who are down eating lift their head up. And he makes the noise again, and they turn. And he makes the noise again, and 100 or so sheep just move towards the shepherd. It's like, wow, the imagery. That's why I wanted to go to a sheep farm, to see that. That's what I wanted to experience. That's incredible. It's incredible. Jesus says he knows us by name. He knows us. He cares about us. In fact, as we just read, he cares about us so much that he is willing to lay down his life for us. It's remarkable. It's incredible. He knows us. He cares. He knows when we're going through difficult times. I work with students and from 11 years old to 18 years old, it is such a tumultuous, difficult phase. Probably you remember back to those years thinking, wow, how did I get through that? And how did I experience all of these different things and survive that or thrive in the midst of that? And it's really hard. And so for us, whether we're a teenager, whether we're an adult, whether we're a parent, whether we're a grandparent, whether we're a great grandparent, there are times in our lives when we feel alone. When we feel like everything is against us, when we feel like we want to be a part of something, but we just feel empty and it is not happening or going the way that we want it to go. Jesus is saying, I'm the good shepherd. I know you. I know what you're going through. And I care. I know and I care and I love you. In fact, I love you so much that I am willing to lay down my life for you. Jesus. And so the sheep follow the shepherd. We as Christians are the sheep following the shepherd. The shepherd in this case, Jesus, is worth following. It's worth following. This is significant. This is worth giving our lives towards. Because so many things out there in our world, in our lives, they make promises and they fall short and they're not fulfilling. And maybe they're fulfilling for a time, but it falls short. But Jesus is the good shepherd and he always loves us and he always is there for us. And he always is willing to lay down his life for us. In fact, he did it. Once and for all, he did it. He laid down his life for us. And it is quite remarkable, this concept of Jesus being the good shepherd. Let's continue on. Verse 16. I have other sheep and my sheep, verse 16. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. So there's some like depth here. There's some interesting ideas here in verse 16. I have other sheep that are not of this pen. And so as I look into this and try to figure out what this is all about, obviously Jesus came into the world as a Jew and Jesus is ministering to the Jewish world and everything about Jesus at this time is centered on Judaism. And that's a part of what's happening here. But I think Jesus is saying, okay, we have this sheep pen and you all that are following me are Jews and this is happening, but there will be a day when this pen will open up and there will be other sheep that come in. And we know from the book of Acts, we know from the Pauline epistles that that pen was open to Jews and Gentiles, the body of Christ being one body together. It's open to all of us. That salvation is by grace and that we all of humanity can enter into this relationship with the Good Shepherd, this relationship with Jesus Christ. That the pen right now, Jesus said, there are some sheep, but one day this pen is going to be a lot wider and a lot bigger. And there will be more sheep that will come in. And it says, they too will listen to my voice and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. We, the body of Christ, are one flock. We are the sheep and we follow the shepherd. We are the sheep and we follow the shepherd. It continues to go, verse 17. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. And so there's just this interesting idea here that Jesus and God had this incredible, obviously, Trinitarian relationship. And God the Father, who's eternal, everlasting, knows no death, right? God the Father had this thing set up where he would send his Son. He knew that humanity was in need of a Savior. We read throughout the Old Testament, the beginning of the New Testament, there was just this human struggle that started in the garden and it went forever and ever and ever, and humans would overcome something and then fall short and overcome and fall short, and sin just constantly caught us up. And so God in heaven said, I will send my Son Jesus to offer the sacrifice that ultimately the world needs. And they have this relationship. The word biblical commentary said this, on the commentary in John, it says, the mutual love of the Father and Son was thus seen in the deed of love for the world, in which the Father in love willed to save all, and the Son in love freely gave his all. I want to read that again. In which the Father in love willed to save all, and the Son in love freely gave his all. God the Father looking down saying, man, they are in need of a Savior. They are in need of my love, the deepest expression of love that could be, as Jesus says in John 15, that he laid down his life. And God said, I'm going to send Jesus, and he is going to do that. And he is going to give up everything for you and for me. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Yeah. It's significant. This is huge stuff. We are the sheep. It says in Isaiah, we're the sheep that have gone astray. We've just gone wild. But the shepherd came to free us, to save us, to give us life. Give us life abundantly, life to the full, as Pastor Gary said a couple of weeks ago. That is significant. We are not the sheep that are astray any longer, because we have the opportunity and the privilege and the blessing to follow the good shepherd, the one who is really, truly worth following. This is good news. This is the gospel being demonstrated here. This is really good news in John chapter 10. I am the good shepherd. This is huge stuff. It continues. And as Jesus finishes these words, now they get to decide. And this is what often happens throughout the Gospels, is Jesus teaches something. And then I can imagine this scene, this situation where the people who listen huddle together and discuss. Well, what do you think he said? What do you think it means? What do you think he meant by this? How does this contradict what we think from the Torah, from the law, from our scriptures? What does this mean? And how do we process this? So they get together in verse 19. It says, at these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, he is a demon possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? They're conflicted. They're divided. Some say this guy has to be a demon. There's no way. There's no way that what he's saying is true. He's possessed by something. We need to cast him off as demon possessed. We need to cast him off as something completely contrary to the scriptures. This isn't true. This isn't real. This isn't right. Don't follow this. And the other one said, how can he be mad? How can he make the blind see? How can he do all these miracles? How can he say this stuff with such authority, with such conviction? How can he say the things that he's saying? How can he do the things that he's doing if he is possessed of demons? If he is raving mad? Here's the reality for all of us today as we land this morning. Is we have the privilege of making that choice. We have the privilege of answering the question, who is Jesus? Who do you say that Jesus is? Those people that were listening to Jesus share this story, they had a choice. They had to decide, who is Jesus? What do we think he is? What do we think about his words? Well, we here today, some 2,000 years later, we get to decide. You get to decide, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Well, this morning, we discovered we are the sheep. He is the good shepherd. He knows us. He knows us by name. He cares about us. In fact, he cares about us so deeply that he laid down his life for us. He laid down his life for us. Jesus, convicted of a crime he didn't commit, he was put on a cross, nails driven through his hands and his feet, and he hung there, shedding his blood, giving his life for me, for you, for the world. He did that for us. He did that for you, for me. And so now the question today, the question they were asking then, is still the same question for all of us today. Who is Jesus? Who do you say Jesus is? Is Jesus just simply this good teacher? Is Jesus simply this historical figure? Or is Jesus the savior of the world? Is Jesus the good shepherd? And that you, not wanting to be astray, want to follow and keep your eyes fixed on this Jesus who is worth following. It's the question, who's Jesus? And I challenge you this morning to not leave this morning without answering that question. Who do you say Jesus is? Who is Jesus functionally in your life? And it's not just this belief system. It's not just this knowledge, decision-based thing. It is this life choice that I am the sheep and I am following the good shepherd. And that matters when I go to work, I'm following the good shepherd. When I'm with my friends, I'm following the good shepherd. When I am feeling alone and when I'm feeling like everything is crumbling all around me, you know what? It is hard, but I am following the good shepherd. When things are happening all around you and life seems to be so busy and you can't even figure out which day it is, who is it that you are following? Are you following the good shepherd? I don't know about you, but for me, some days I feel like I'm just a complete mess. And some days it's really hard to kind of navigate this and understand. And one of the things that I learned in being a shepherd is sometimes sheep, when they get too, for lack of a better word, fat, when they get too heavy, or sometimes they get too much growth in their hair. Is it hair? They have hair. Wool. Yes. Wool. That's it. They grow wool. And when they get like, they just get too much going on, what can happen to a sheep in some moments is they tip over. They tip over and they're on their side and their legs are just hanging out. And sometimes, if I'm being honest, that is a perfect illustration of my life. It's like life is so much, and parenting and family and work and life and stress and anxiety and loneliness and all of these things. And I feel like that sheep, and they can't get up. They can't get up. In fact, they would die on their side if not for the shepherd. For proof, I found a video. Thank you, YouTube. Here is a sheep who's on its side. You can see it kind of kicking its legs. It's stuck. The shepherd comes up, lifts it up, and off it goes. The sheep on its side, legs flailing. The shepherd comes up, and off it goes. We have a savior in Jesus. When life feels like it's willing to pick us up and send us on our way. Because he knows us. He cares about us. He loves us. He loves us so much that he was willing to lay down his life for us. So the question this morning, who is Jesus? Who do you say Jesus is? Let's pray. God, I thank you. I thank you for Berean Bible Church. Lord, it's good to be here. Lord, I pray for each of us as we are on this journey to follow you. And sometimes it's really messy and sometimes it's really hard. And sometimes we don't seem to have all the answers. Or maybe it seems like we don't have any answers sometimes. But God, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for this incredible imagery today of Jesus' statements that he is the good shepherd. We are the sheep. We have gone astray. But because of what Jesus did for us, he gave up everything for us. God, you sent him in your wisdom and your omniscience, in your loving grace, you sent him to give up his life for us. He paid the penalty on the cross for us so that we could live and be free from our sin. And so, God, I pray for everyone here today that we assess this incredibly important question. Who is Jesus? Who do we say that Jesus is? And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here who has not yet made the decision, the commitment to say, God, I believe in Jesus as my Savior, that today is the day that they make the choice to say, God, I am that sheep who is lost. I am that sheep who just wants to run away, but you are the good shepherd who knows me and loves me and cares about me and laid down his life for me. So God, I pray those decisions that are made today for all of us, Lord, that we can deepen our love, we can deepen our commitment to you, that we can follow you better in our lives, in our workplaces, in our families, that we can follow the good shepherd, because the good shepherd is truly worth following. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please stand with us as we sing, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. 1, 2, 14.
I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Do you know Jesus? Are we living like Jesus is our good shepherd? Dismissed.